Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Sunday, October 19th. Happy Resurrection Day. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim your praise. Let's start out with our memory verse for this week. It's from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, verse 23. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Let us begin with a prayer of thanksgiving. Blessed are you, sovereign God, creator of all. To you be glory and praise forever. You founded the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. In the fullness of time, you made us in your image. And in these last days, you have spoken to us in your Son, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. As we rejoice in the gift of your presence among us, let the light of your love always shine in our hearts, your Spirit ever renew our lives, and your praises ever be on our lips. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be God forever. Our first passage this Sunday is Isaiah chapter 41, verses 17 through 29. I'm going to read this week in the New Living Translation. "When the poor and needy search for water and there is none, and their tongues are parched from thirst, then I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will never abandon them. I will open up rivers for them on the high plateaus. I will give them fountains of water in the valleys. I will fill the desert with pools of water. Rivers fed by springs will flow across the parched ground. I will plant trees in a barren desert, cedar, acacia, myrtle, olive, cypress, fir, and pine. I'm doing this so all who see this miracle will understand what it means. That it is the Lord who has done this, the Holy One of Israel who created it. Present the case for your idols, says the Lord. Let them show what they can do, says the King of Israel. Let them try to tell us what happened long ago, so that we may consider the evidence. Or let them tell us what the future holds, so that we can know what's going to happen. Yes, tell us what will occur in the days ahead. Then we will know you are gods. In fact, do anything, good or bad. Do something that will amaze and frighten us. But no, you are less than nothing and can do nothing at all. Those who choose you pollute themselves. But I have stirred up a leader who will approach from the north. From the east, he will call on my name. I will give him victory over kings and princes. He will trample them as a potter treads on clay. Who told you from the beginning that this would happen? Who predicted this, making you admit that he was right? No one said a word. I was the first to tell Zion, 'Look, help is on the way. I will send Jerusalem a messenger with good news.' Not one of your idols told you this. Not one gave any answer when I asked. See, they are all foolish, worthless things. All your idols are as empty as the wind." I want to highlight three things in this passage. First, God does not abandon us. Look at verse 17 again. "I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will never abandon them." Then the reminder that idols are not like our God. They can't tell us the past. They can't help us to foresee the future. In fact, as it says in verse 24, they are nothing. They can do nothing at all. And that is true of anything that we have over desire for. It never pays. We get what we think we want, and then we want more. So today, Lord, help us to rid ourselves of the idols and to remember, as it says at the end of this passage, that you are the one who gives the victory over kings and princes, as you did for Persia when they came through and rescued Israel from Babylon. Turning over to the book of Acts, we're in Acts 17, verses 10 through 21. Paul and Silas in Berea. That very night, the believers sent Paul and Silas to Berea. When they arrived there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. And the people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica, and they listened eagerly to Paul's message. They searched the scriptures day after day to see if Paul and Silas were teaching the truth. As a result, many Jews believed, as did many of the prominent Greek women and men. But when some Jews in Thessalonica learned that Paul was preaching the word of God in Berea, they went there and stirred up trouble. The believers acted at once, sending Paul on to the coast, while Silas and Timothy remained behind. Those escorting Paul went with him all the way to Athens. Then they returned to Berea with instructions for Silas and Timothy to hurry and join him. When Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was deeply troubled by all the idols he saw everywhere in the city. He went to the synagogue to reason with the Jews and the God-fearing Gentiles, and he spoke daily in the public squares to all who happened to be there. He also had a debate with some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers. When he told them about Jesus and his resurrection, they said, "What's this babbler trying to say with these strange ideas he's picked up?" Others said, "He seems to be preaching about some foreign gods." Then they took him to the high council of the city. "Come and tell us about this new teaching," they said. "You are saying some rather strange things, and we want to know what it's all about." It should be explained that all the Athenians, as well as the foreigners in Athens, seemed to spend all their time discussing the latest ideas. As we reflect on this passage, I am encouraged that the people in Thessalonica listened eagerly to Paul's message, but they also searched the scriptures day after day to see if what Paul was saying was actually the truth. And as a result, many Jews believed. They looked at the Old Testament or the scriptures that they had, and they saw the prophetic witness of books like Isaiah and the Psalms and Ezekiel, and they recognized that Jesus is Lord. Then, when Paul preached in Athens, what was he struck by? He was struck by all the idols he saw everywhere in the city. The connection between this passage and the passage in Isaiah is striking. In Old Testament days, they struggled with idols. In New Testament days, Athens was struggling with idols. And even today, we struggle with idols. And so we need to be continually reflecting in our hearts, "Lord, teach me what it is that I have an over desire for. What is it that I easily give myself and my money and my cares to? What wakes me up at night?" And then, Lord, help us to turn our attention to you, be reminded that you are all powerful and you are the one to whom we should give all glory. Our final passage is Psalm 98, verses 2 and 3. "The Lord has announced his victory, and he has revealed his righteousness to every nation. He has remembered his promise to love and be faithful to Israel. The ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God." This passage brings us full circle to the passage in Isaiah, because both remind us of the promise that God will not abandon us. He remembers his love and his faithfulness to his people. And so in response, we say, "Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen." We thank you, Lord, that you have raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of your servant David. And so we lift our intercessions and our offerings of praise to you now. Thank you, Lord, for being a God who does not abandon us. Thank you for being the one who prepares the way. Help us to be the kind of people who continually repent and draw near. We are totally dependent upon you. On this Resurrection Sunday, help us to experience the power of your resurrection. As we praise, as we repent, as we sing and hear your word. And now we pray for the world and for its needs. We start with ourselves and work outward to our family. Ask your watch care upon them, your graciousness, our friends, those who have needs in our midst, bring them to mind, Lord. Our city, state, and world. Give us proper perspective, grateful hearts, and desire to help with the needs we see. We pray for the church global. We pray for all those who are worshiping you today. We ask, Lord, that you would be with the leaders of our church and the leaders of the churches that preach Christ as Lord everywhere. We thank you for the world that you have created for our enjoyment. Help us to be good stewards of it. And we want to pray for all those who are in need. We lift them up to the Holy One, who is our healer, our help, and our consolation. We praise you, Lord, that we can come to you. We know you, and you are present with us. And we pray all of these things in Christ's name. Amen.